welcome to another episode of Here's What I Think, musings of two Anabaptist pastors, educators, most importantly, Christ followers. I'm Matt Showalter.
And I'm Jeremy Miller. And I'm really excited about the topic for today. We're talking about something that I don't think most Christians in our environment today think about a whole lot. And that is the issue of lament.
Yeah, and kind of what got us thinking about this is an article that N.T. Wright wrote in Time magazine that has been being passed around quite a bit on Facebook here recently that, I don't know, some of you who are listening to this may have read. But he kind of makes the case that, the title of the article is Christianity Offers No Answers About the Coronavirus. And you know what? It's not supposed to. He says. What does he mean by that, Jeremy?
Yeah, you know, the basic premise of his article, as I read it, is this idea that as modern people, we want to explain everything, and that there's a biblical idea of lament that we've really forgotten, and that even describes God, in that God laments so many things throughout Scripture, and that modern people have really forgotten how to lament. Is a central argument to what he's making, in that the really hard things in life aren't always meant to be explained. That there are things that we just simply grieve, and that's appropriate.
Yeah, and he goes into the Psalms, for example. He uses numerous ones of the Psalms as examples of kind of this principle, where the psalmist is just lamenting various things, and there's no resolution. It's not like at the end of the psalm, then the psalmist comes back around to saying, but God is good, even in the midst of our, you know, suffering or pain or whatever. Just, it sort of just stops with saying, you know what? It's horrendous right now what I'm experiencing. I'm in darkness. End of psalm. And to our sort of modern approach to life and faith, that almost feels unresolved.
Yeah, Matt, I think it might be good to pause, like to just get a few sort of ground pieces underway, because I actually think this idea is really foreign to us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 40% of the Psalms are laments.
Yeah.
And the Psalms were the Hebrew worship book. They were the things that they spoke and recited and prayed and sang in Hebrew worship. And yet we, you know, I don't know how frequently we really lament in our worship services, or if we even know what that means.
Well, I had to think about, you know, the way that we worship today, and if some of our, like, worship songs that we sing in church were sort of written in the same way that the Psalms were. You know, we sing a song, for example, like Blessed Be Your Name. And there, it, you know, the author, I think it is Matt Redman, it's a good song. I don't want to critique
sure.
it, but at the same time, there's the resolution is, even in the midst of pain, you know, whatever happens, blessed be your name. You know, when times are good, when times are bad, blessed be your name. So there's kind of a lament in the sense that, wow, boy, times are bad, but there's quick resolution.
But that's the thing. We don't want it unresolved.
Yeah.
We want, like, lament, as you read about it in Scripture, it feels like lament is this thing that you sit with, this sorrow, this grief that's deep, that is agonizing, and to which you don't have immediate answers, and you don't actually get there super quick. And I just really wonder if we aren't so scared of that kind of questioning and that kind of sorrow. We want the resolution ASAP so we can move on with life and get to the happy parts again.
What if in, you know, Matt Redman's song, instead of each line saying, though there's pain in the offering and a road marked with suffering and all these things that he talks about, if there wouldn't be the blessed be your name piece, and we just sang about the road marked with suffering and then stopped.
Wouldn't that work on our theology a bit? I mean, would we be comfortable singing that?
See, I don't think we would be.
But should we be?
Well, that's what I think. He mentions a couple of psalms here. N.T. Wright does, I think, Psalm 22 he talks about, and Psalm 13 where there isn't any resolution. There's just kind of, you know, it's trial, it's tribulation, it's hardship. God, you've forgotten me, you're silent, why aren't you helping me?
Yeah, why is this happening?
Why is this happening? End of psalm. And boy, there's a part of that that just feels wrong in a sense. I don't know.
Yeah, like, don't we need to convince ourselves that God's got this, that he's in control, that we can trust him?
Because God is good all the time. All the time God is good, right?
Yeah, Jim? but also doesn't in the Psalms, the writer, often David, speaks to his soul and tells his soul what to think, right? So, it commands his soul to believe something, like we like to think of ourselves. Like we like to be in that space where we tell ourselves, okay, no, this all thing is going, but God is good. We tell our soul that God is right and just and good and trustworthy. But not always does he do that in the Psalms. Like you were saying, sometimes it just ends and the why just hangs there.
So let's just say, for example, that yes, lament really needs to be a part of our worship. What would that look like today in our churches, Jeremy? Do you have any ideas about that?
I'm just thinking, like, so many people go to church to feel better, and that's not all wrong. I mean, that's really beautiful. And yet, I think part of the thing that resonated with me about this article is it works against the quick fix. Our problems, we can get happy again and move on, fix the things that are broken in the world and move on and, you know, have a wonderful time with Jesus again.
But lament takes contemplation.
Man, lament takes time. You don't grieve hard and then just bounce back. You know, if you think about how long people actually grieve a death of a child or a spouse or a parent, or like, that grief process takes time. And the longer you try to short circuit it, the longer it takes.
Well, and yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's actually unhealthy to try to sort of short circuit that grieving process, right? Because there is mourning, lament, sorrow. These things, they're therapeutic, right?
Well, you have to process them or they come out pretty terribly. You know, people that stuff their tears end up in sorrow and wasting away. And there's psalms about that. And then people who just explode on other people. Well, I mean, there's kind of an obvious downside to that. People who just kind of dump their tears all over. But the Bible describes in healthy ways God himself who grieves, and people who honestly grieve loss. Jesus grieved
Lazarus's death, even though presumably he knew he was going to raise him from the dead.
He didn't rush to that.
Yeah.
Like he sat with that, and he had tears. I don't necessarily feel like I understand all of that, except that it does show that Jesus feels deeply.
Yeah, I've wondered one of the reasons that I really liked this article when I came across it was the idea that we don't have to have all the answers.
Right.
Because I do so often see in our sort of evangelical churches and whatnot, I see this rush to sort of answer for God at times that leaves me very uncomfortable. There'll be a tsunami, or there'll be an earthquake, or there'll be something, and we kind of make these rushes to judgment to say, well, it was God's judgment, or well, it was this, or, and it's a way to try to explain a situation where what I liked about what N.T. Wright was saying was, well, no, that's actually not a good impulse, that we shouldn't be trying to explain, but that it's okay to just lament. There was an earthquake and people died. Don't explain it. Lament it.
We just grieve.
We grieve.
That's right. Yeah. Man, I don't know, Matt. It feels like there is so much there. There's something about... I don't think it's like evangelical subculture, because I think it's culture-wide. Like it's more of a Western culture at this point, maybe specific to the U.S., just this refusal to admit grief because it's some sort of sign of weakness. That probably would be worth spending a lot of time thinking about, because I don't think it's healthy.
Yeah.
Not when 40% of the Bible's Book of Songs deal with this issue.
Deal with grief, deal with lament, deal with mourning.
What percentage of our modern worship songs? And let's just go to the next level. Hymns as well.
No, that's true. That's
it's
true.
Not just modern worship music. It's our hymns and our hymn books. They don't lament well either, or express lament well.
Well, it feels better to sing songs of praise, to sing songs of adoration, to come, you know, come before the Lord with joyful songs and celebration, and these things feel better. And they're also to be elements of our worship in that way. I don't think either of us are saying that, you know, church services need to be times of weeping and mourning all the time, and that we can never sing songs of praise and be joyful before the Lord. But it seems like maybe we've swung a little far in that direction. Is that kind of...
I think so. But it's also a personal thing. I mean, I remember our church, when I was pastoring, went through a really difficult period of time. And I was crushed in that. Mm-hmm. And I went to see a counselor. And one of the things that I learned to do in that time was journal. And journal in specific ways. I would write down what happened. I would write down the things that I was feeling, especially how I felt about what was happening, so that I was honest with myself and with God. And then I would ask God what he saw and ask what he wanted to say to me through it. And sometimes I didn't sense anything. I didn't know. I didn't know what God saw. I didn't know what he wanted me to see through it. But in the asking and in the writing, at least getting, like being honest about my own tears in this situation, man, there was something profoundly healing about that, even when I didn't always know what God was up to or what he was doing.
So to get back to this article
a
little bit, Jeremy, N.T. Wright makes some sort of very definitive statements.
Yes, he does.
And like I said, and I think both of us would say that there's a lot in here that really resonated with us. If I could just play the devil's advocate here for a little bit, there's a few times where I thought, wow, wait, is he overstating things a little bit? At the end of the article, he says, for example, and this is all in the context of the coronavirus and trying to explain what's happening, and is this the judgment of God on America, or is this, you know, what's happening? And he simply says, it is no part of the Christian vocation, then, to be able to explain what's happening and why. And I guess that, when it's said that definitively, I wonder, well, wait, is it really no part of the Christian vocation, then, to explain?
Yeah, tell me why, Matt, you're uncomfortable with it. Because, I mean, I have a few things that are rolling around in my head, but...
Well, right now I'm teaching through the Old Testament prophets in my in the course that I'm teaching here at RBC. And, you know, one of the, we're just in the book of Amos, where at one point Amos says that God does nothing without first telling his plans to his servants, the prophets. And someone like Amos, Isaiah, across the board, their job was to explain the ways of God to the people. You know what? The Assyrians are coming, and you know why they're coming? Because you guys have sinned. You know, that was the whole gist of their message.
Right.
And so, yeah, I wonder what an Old Testament prophet would have said to N.T. Wright when he says, you know what, it's really no part of the Christian vocation to explain the ways of God. What would have Jeremiah said to N.T. Wright in that sense, in that situation? So now it's your job to explain that to me, Jeremy.
I don't think I can. Paul talks about, I think to the 1 Corinthians, he says something about, y'all have fallen asleep. Or getting sick because of X, Y, and Z, you know? And the reality is there are times for explanations that 2 + 2 = 4 and God gives insight to his people to know how and why things are happening that are happening. But having said all that, I have despaired at some of the crazy, I guess I'll use that word, crazy,
yeah,
sort of prophetic voices of our time who try to describe these things in ways that, as I read scripture, don't match up.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of self-proclaimed prophets who have an awful lot to say and whose perspective I look at and think that just does not sound like Jesus or his kingdom or what God might say to us in this time. And so there's just a carelessness that's really frustrating.
Yeah, I think it is important to note that, you know, in when we read the Old Testament prophets, we're reading the good guys. And there were an awful lot of bad guys, hundreds and hundreds of bad guys.
By bad guys, you mean?
By bad guys, I mean false prophets.
False prophets, that's right.
And maybe not all the false prophets were bad. I'm not implying that if some prophet has you know, said something wrong at one point that they're a bad guy, because I'm sure that, you know, everyone makes mistakes.
But there should be humility in that.
Exactly, but there needs to be humility, and there are times when prophets are deceived, and there are times when, and so we really need discernment.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Because someone says, well, God is saying in this instance that this is why it is, we need discernment.
The red flags ought to go up. It doesn't mean it's not true, but mm-hmm. I want to know where they're coming from on that.
Yeah.
I think to kind of bring it back around, though, to lament, the thing that, I agree with you that N.T. Wright would have overstated this point. The thing that I found refreshing is the call to lament.
Yeah.
And that, look, before we go around proclaiming God's judgment or whatever it is that you think God's up to, the call
mm-hmm.
for us is to weep with those who are weeping. And there is a great sadness in our land and in our world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's painful. And to rush by that is harmful to the human spirit, and it's especially harmful to the kingdom person.
That's well said, Jeremy. I think that's one of the reasons that I, when I teach through the Old Testament prophets, that's one of the reasons I love the book of Jeremiah, is because Jeremiah is one of the prophets, like someone like Isaiah, for example. Again, I love the book of Isaiah too, but Isaiah prophesied about a lot of things that he didn't have to live through.
Mm-hmm.
He prophesied about various, you know, future events, but, you know, the king that he was prophesying to was Hezekiah for many years, who was a good king.
Yeah.
Jeremiah prophesied about a lot of things that he also had to live through. Because of that, there's a real sort of kind of oneness with the people. His voice isn't one of, hey, you guys, you're this way, you're that way. It's like, you know what? I'm in this with you.
Uh-huh.
Yes, there's finger pointing. Yes, there's, you know, you guys have sinned. But there's a humility and a compassion there
right. In
Jeremiah that I think is so, so necessary. And there's a willingness to lament.
Yeah.
You know, we're not sure that it was Jeremiah that wrote Lamentations, but it was certainly kind of, his era and whatnot, where the Book of Lamentations come from, and it is a very open lament, and not finger pointing, not sort of here's what happened, but just sitting there lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem.
Yeah, man, that's powerful, and I think that's our call right now, in this coronavirus era. There's just horrible things happening. Is to weep. And that doesn't mean that we are inactive.
Yeah.
But we weep, and it's godly.
Well, if you haven't had a chance to read this, it's a very short little article that N.T. Wright wrote about this. It's in Time Magazine. You can just Google N.T. Wright, Time Magazine, coronavirus, and it'll pop right up. It's an interesting read. We'd love to have you read it and see what you think about it. See if any of what we've said also sort of resonates with where you're at. But I think we can probably should we wrap it up?
That sounds great, Matt.
So thanks a lot for listening. Thank you for thinking about these things. And I would encourage you to do some reading in the Psalms during this time, and not just in the happy, joyful Psalms, but in some of the Psalms of lamentation. Mm-hmm. Take some time to grieve. Take some time to lament, because it is one of the callings that we have as Christians to do so.
That's right.
So this, I guess that's a wrap for today. Here's what I think, for this episode at least. Thanks for joining us. I'm Matt Showalter.
And I'm Jeremy Miller. We'll talk to you again.